What I want to talk about it here is picking up a little bit on what you were saying about community, Ben. That what hurts one person hurts us all, because we're all part of the body of Christ. If one suffers, all suffer. So it's our responsibility to do what we can to minister to those that are suffering. Even from a personal sort of selfish position, because I'm more whole if you're more whole. So let's just go ahead and we can just kind of read through the beginning of this, and then what I want to talk about is how to pray for the sick. A lot of times we don't know what to do when somebody is sick, and a lot of times we kind of short-circuit what God wants to do in the healing process in somebody's life, because we don't know how to really follow through and pray for the sick. So let's just go ahead and read through this. Throughout the Bible, God encourages us to call upon Him for healing. He says in Exodus 15:26, "I am the Lord who heals you." This is where it says Jehovah Rapha, and we call Him Jehovah Rapha because He is the God of healing. Psalm 103:2-3 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." God wants to heal. Some think that miracles no longer occur, citing 1 Corinthians 13:8. However, this passage refers to the return of Jesus Christ. That's the passage where it's talking about, love being the greatest thing. And Paul says there that these certain things will pass away when the perfect comes. And some of those things that are passing away are listed in the gifts of the Spirit. But it's not saying there that the gifts of the Spirit are going to pass away at any time before the Lord comes. When the Lord comes, then we don't need the gifts of the Spirit, because we won't need healing. We won't need interpretation of tongues. We won't need these things because we'll have direct communication and unrestricted fellowship with the Lord. And where there won't be any need for healing because we'll all be well all the time. So it says, when He comes again, we will no longer need prophecies, tongues, miracles, because we will be in His presence. Until then, the anointing, power, and gifts of the Holy Spirit are readily available to us in every situation. Over the years, evangelism models have been popular and used with great success, including the four spiritual laws, the evangelism explosion, and today the alpha model of attracting new converts to the faith is extremely successful in many denominations. When we approach the subject of healing, however, a groan can almost be heard in some Christian circles if the topic of a healing model is mentioned. It's almost like it's sacrilege somehow, or there's something wrong with having a model about healing or about how to pray for the sick. We should just be led by the Spirit. And certainly, as it mentions here, Jesus ministered to the sick and demonized in a great variety of ways. He spat on the ground and made mud and then rubbed it on the blind man's eyes and then told him to go wash it. That was one. He rebuked a fever, like Ben was saying. He commanded the deaf and the dumb spirit to leave in one situation. He even asked questions before and during ministry. He actually asked questions. What do you want? You know, what are you going to do? Remember the man he was healing of blindness, and he went and washed his eyes after he made the mud and put it on his eyes, and the guy came back and said, Jesus asked him, "What do you see?" And he said, "I see men as trees walking." In other words, his vision hadn't been restored completely yet, and so Jesus told him to go wash again, and he came back, and then his vision was restored completely. So there was a process in that situation that the person was going through. It wasn't instantaneous healing. So we see a lot of different models or a lot of different ways that Jesus ministered healing to people. So in short, Jesus rarely ministered healing in the same way with two different people. He was very unique. So we want to have a model that leaves a lot of flexibility in how we pray for one another. But what I want to emphasize here is that it's important that we pray for one another. And so it's therefore important that we at least have some kind of a framework for praying for people. When Michael shared 2 weeks ago, and talked about healing. And then afterwards, he invited people to come up for healing. And I had the opportunity to pray for healing for Ron. And I'm sure Ron wouldn't mind if I share this. I was hoping he would be here and I would ask. But some of the things that I'm going to be talking about, I'm going to use kind of that as an illustration, because it was just recently that I was able to do that. Yes, Lord? In John 5:19, it says that Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. So we can assume Jesus was in tune with the Father, and I think this is an important thing when we come to this idea of praying for the sick. I think it's so important that we be in tune with the Father on a regular basis, that we're spending time with him on a regular basis, so that and practicing getting to know his voice. Because it's so important for us when we're in the situation of praying for the sick to be able to hear what God is saying to us in that moment. So we can assume that Jesus was in tune with the Father and proceeded to heal as he was led. Likewise, since each person we pray for is unique, we need to approach each prayer ministry opportunity with both a general plan of action or a model, as well as a hearing spirit. And what I mean by a hearing spirit is just that openness to the Lord, that he might tell you to do something or tell this person to do something. Like in the case of Naaman, where the Lord said through Isaiah to go, or through Elijah, to go and wash in the river seven times. And you know, a lot of times when you look at what Jesus did, that he did that kind of thing. And sometimes when we're praying for people, the Lord will direct you to direct that person to do something. And I'll get to that a little more in a minute. So, how do you pray for the sick? Let me give you this model. It's on your handout there. It's basically just a six-step model. And let me just talk about the six steps. The first step is ask the one that you are praying for what they want God to do. It seems pretty simple. Jesus came to the man at the pool of Siloam and he said, "Do you want to be healed?" If you're sitting at the pool of Siloam, the tradition was that you sat there because you were sick. And at times, this angel would come, they say, and stir the waters, and the first one that got into the pool would be healed after it was stirred. So it's obvious if he's sitting there, the reason he's sitting there is because he wants to be healed. But it's really interesting when you read that passage. In fact, let's read it. John 5:6. If you want to turn there, let me just go ahead and read it. John 5:6. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" Now, sometimes that's like obvious, you know. And I think that we need to not be afraid of stating the obvious. We need to be not afraid of praying for the obvious. Ask the one that you're praying for, what do they want God to do? And then it says, the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet and walk." Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Now it was the Sabbath on that day. It's interesting that Jesus healed a lot on the Sabbath. And I think that healing should be a part of the Sabbath. They weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath. And Jesus got in trouble with the Pharisees because he was healing on the Sabbath. And Jesus' response to that was, you know, isn't the Sabbath the time to do good? Would it be better that I did evil, you know, on the Sabbath? No, you do good. I think when we gather together should be a time, and since, you know, this is kind of our Sabbath, this should be a time of healing too. But back to this story, he asked him, you know, "Do you want to be well?" And then the guy didn't say, "Yeah, I want to get well." He went off excuses about why he wasn't well, as if it was his fault that he wasn't well. And Jesus just ignored that. And a lot of times when we're praying for somebody and we ask, you know, what do you want God to do? they'll go off on, well, you know, I went to this healing service and I went to that healing service and, you know, nothing's happened yet. And, you know, I've been searching my life and I don't know what's wrong with me, what I'm doing wrong. You know, I don't know if there's sin in my life. And they'll go off on all these different areas. And really what you're trying to get to with that person is, so what do you want God to do? And a lot of times it's hard to get them to that point. But God wants to hear what we want. He wants to hear us speak what we want. In Philippians 4:6 it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There isn't anything that we can't ask of God, is what this is saying. In all things, with prayer and all supplication, make your requests known. There isn't anything that we can't ask of God. So when we ask somebody that we're praying for, what do you want God to do? We're, in a way, we're encouraging boldness in them. We're encouraging them to step out and say, this is what I want God to do. Asking them what they want God to do, it helps us clarify the object of our faith. They are asking God, not you, for healing. And it's good when we're praying for somebody that we're both reminded of that. That we're coming to God for healing. This person's not coming to me for healing, but we together are going before God for that healing. So the first step is to ask the person, you know, what do you want God to do? The second step is to ask God to do for them what they want done. So, okay, you want God to heal your stomach problems that you're having. Okay, let's ask God to heal. Lord, and it might be just a real simple prayer, like, you know, Lord, I just pray that you would heal Marty's stomach problems. And that could be enough. It doesn't have to go beyond that. But remember that you're praying with a listening ear all the time, a listening spirit. You're open to what God would be saying to you while you're praying. So when Ron came up a couple of weeks ago and he asked for prayer, and of course he's been having heart problems, so you know, he said he wanted prayer for his heart. I asked him, what do you want God to do? Well, I want God to heal my heart. And also the whole cardiovascular system, because he's got blockage in other parts of in his neck, the carotid artery in different places. So he was asking for prayer. So I just prayed that, you know. I just prayed, Lord, I just pray that you would heal Ron and his whole cardiovascular system. I pray that you would restore it. Now there's some things have already happened, and I believe that it's God's healing. They discovered that he needed a pacemaker so that he could, you know, so his heart rhythm would be corrected. So there's some things that God's already been doing, but I just prayed that. Now a lot of times when we pray for people, even though we're praying for one particular thing, God starts to minister. He might start to minister in another area. And that's why we need to be open to what, you know, what is happening. So when you're praying, what I encourage people to do and what I do is I don't pray with my eyes closed. I pray with my eyes open. And the third step here is observe what is happening as you're praying. Observe what is happening as you're praying. So I was praying for Ron, and I'm looking for different things that are happening. Now, what are the areas that you can look for? By the way, I think that we usually don't do this, unfortunately, because we're not really expecting anything to happen when we pray for somebody who's sick. How many of you ever prayed for somebody that was sick and you really didn't expect them to get well when you prayed? I mean, I know I do that. And that's why I think it's important for us to pray with our eyes open. Because when your eyes are open, it's kind of you're in a stance of expectancy. You're looking for what's happening. Manifestations may happen in the person praying or in the person being prayed for. So it can happen in either one of us. And when I was praying for Ron, I didn't necessarily sense anything or feel anything. I did sense kind of a direction that God was giving to me to lay my hands on his heart and pray for that, you know, pray while I was praying for his heart. So there was a guidance there that I think God was giving to me. But areas that you can look for when you're praying are emotions. Is the person responding with some emotional reaction? That may be God's touch. Something's happening there. Physical signs. Real common things that happen are shaking, swaying, sweating, sometimes gagging, crying, laughing, fainting, heat, sense of heat can begin to happen, or you're aware of it, or the person can double over and almost scream like they've just been punched in the stomach. I mean, these are all things that have happened when I've been praying for somebody or have been around people that have been praying for somebody. So there's emotional, there's physical, communal signs sometimes. A communal, we talked about community and how God brings healing through the community and for the community. That when we're praying for healing for an individual, it's really we're praying for healing for the community. And a lot of times what will happen is that what I've observed is that people begin to gather around the person that I'm praying for. I haven't directed that. I haven't asked for people to come around. But the Lord just begins to send other people to lay hands on or to, you know, to begin to participate in the healing process. Now, these are all signs that you're looking for as you're praying with your eyes open. Intellectual signs. Sometimes the person you're praying for or the person praying, either one, will have a sudden insight, a sudden revelation of like, oh, now I see. I see what's been wrong, or I see what I need to do, or I understand just the power of God to heal. There might be an intellectual sort of shedding of light in that area that happens. Or it may be a spiritual. You may sense that they are to wash, like in Naaman, which is like a form of baptism. Or maybe they need to take communion. There's a sense that, you know what, let's go get the communion cup and break the bread. Because a lot of times healing happens when we enter into the Lord's Supper. Sometimes they're led, or you're led maybe, to say, you know, you need to have so-and-so pray for you, your father or your mother, because there is a line of authority oftentimes that God honors and wants that person to enter into so that the healing can flow down. So a pastor or parent prays for them. Basically what you're doing in this last one is that you're being sensitive to the Lord in terms of how he would direct you in the sacraments. We have certain sacraments that we acknowledge. Basically in the Protestant church, it's communion, because we've done away with most of the other sacraments, unfortunately. But confession is a sacrament. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. A lot of times we need to instruct the person, you know, or the Lord will lay on your heart or give you a revelation that there's unforgiveness in this person's life, or that they need to confess something. So we ask the person what they want God to do for them. We pray and ask God to do it for them. While we're praying, we're observing what is happening. And then the fourth one is you ask the person what they are experiencing. As I was praying for Ron, after I prayed for him, you know, he kind of started to sit down and say, you know, oh, thank you. And he started to, you know, turn and walk back to his seat. And I said, well, wait a minute, Ron. What do you sense God doing? What do you sense happening? What's happening in you right now? And he just said, you know, I just started crying. I said, I don't know what that's about. And I said, I haven't cried for years, but I just started crying. Okay, do I know what that's about necessarily? No. Could it be God doing some kind of healing in his life, right, in an area maybe I wasn't praying for, but there is maybe an emotional healing. Maybe there's a hurt, a wound that God began to touch, an old wound, emotional wound that God began to touch while I was praying. I don't know exactly what was happening there, but he said he started to cry. So when we ask the person what they're experiencing, we can ask them, you know, the same five things that I just mentioned about what you're looking for, the emotional, the physical, the communal, the intellectual, the spiritual. Or you can ask them, you know, what they're perceiving, what they're feeling, what they're thinking, or what they're wanting. Kind of tune the person into what's going on in their own experience at that moment while you're praying for them. Ask them, what's happening? A lot of times they'll have a vision. A picture comes to mind or an old memory. And maybe God's directing some attention to that because it needs prayer. It needs to be bathed in prayer. And it's part of the healing process that God wants to do in them. Or they got a pain or sensation in their body that's focusing the attention to a particular part of the body. Then you pray for that too. So then what you're doing is that as you're asking the person what they're experiencing, you're bathing that experience in prayer. Okay, Lord, you know, whatever that is that's going on there, we just ask you to continue your work. We just ask you to keep doing the healing, Lord, that needs to be done in that area of their life. If it's emotional or physical or spiritual or whatever it is, Lord, we just pray. We just ask for more healing. So you see what's happening here is that there's a process going on. It's not just, you know, Lord, fix them, and then you turn and walk away and just leave it for God to do. There may be, you're putting yourself in a position where God can use you now. And God will. If you're available, God will use you. And that's what this is all about. That's what this model is all about, is making yourself available so that God can use you as you're praying for somebody. Maybe they thought of a person, you know, a family member, a friend, say maybe somebody they haven't seen for a long time. And just question them a little more. Well, what does that person mean to you? What's your relationship like with that person? What's happening with that person in your life now? Because maybe there's a need for, like I said earlier, forgiveness or for healing, for forgiveness or for confession of sin. The fifth one is, so you ask the person what they want God to do. You ask God to do it for them. You observe what is happening. You ask the person what they are experiencing. And then you're also listening to God, what he may be saying to you at the time. And that's number five. Listen to what God may be saying to you regarding this person's life or infirmity. At this point, you're not so much focused on the person that you're praying for as much as you are focus on what God is doing in you and what he is saying to you at that moment. Now, these two things are going to be happening simultaneously, okay, four and five. It's not like you're going to be going, in fact, a lot of these things are going to be happening simultaneously. And so you have to sort of train yourself to do this. And I would encourage you to maybe meditate on these five points during your prayer time during the coming weeks, in your devotion time, and just kind of picture, allow God to give you pictures of what that would be like when you're praying for somebody and you're experiencing these things. So be sensitive to images and visions, words of knowledge, pain or sensation in your own body that may give you insight into the person's immediate need. I've heard of people a lot of times that get words of knowledge when they're praying for somebody by the Lord giving them a pain. Like if I'm praying for somebody, the Lord would give me a pain in a certain area in my body that is like giving me an understanding or a knowledge of that pain or that area in that person's body that needs prayer. Or he may bring to my remembrance something or some healing that I've experienced in the past. And that may be a cue that this person needs that same kind of healing. God doesn't bring people together by accident. I mean, that's kind of a contradictory statement. If he brings people together, it's not by accident. And God puts people together, so he'll put you with people to pray for that he can use your experiences in ministering healing to that person. He can use your life experiences and you're healing, to minister healing to that person. There are two main obstacles that I believe that hinder healing in people. And a lot of times when I'm praying for people, one or both of these will manifest. One is an area of unconfessed sin. Dan Sneed spoke last week, and I remember when I was associate pastor with Dan about 100 years ago, I went to minister to somebody. I went over to their apartment, and I was praying for them, and I called Dan because I got to a point where I just really felt like this guy needed a real touch of the Holy Spirit. And I was a young minister in my early 20s, inexperienced. So I called Dan. He was my pastor. I called Dan. I said, Dan, can you come over and pray with this guy? Because I just really feel like he needs to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He just needs that anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Dan came over, and we began praying, and Dan started asking him some questions. And they were pretty pointed questions about sexual sin and about things that, you know, Dan didn't know anything about. And he just started saying, you know, what's going on in this area? Well, it turned out that the guy had just a truckload of pornographic magazines and stuff underneath his bed. And this whole area of sin came out as an area that we needed to minister to before ever getting to that point of, you know, asking the Holy Spirit to come in and bring the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But Dan didn't know anything about that. That was something that God began to minister and speak to Dan about while we were praying for this guy. And so a lot of times, you know, now also remember, though, that God's not going to embarrass somebody. God's not in the business of pulling your covers to expose you to the world. So God will probably not give you, when you're praying for somebody, you know, a complete picture of what's going on. But he might give you hints, and you share those hints with that person. And even if they don't confess to you at that time what's going on, it may be that afterwards, I mean, they know exactly what's going on. They know exactly what God is putting his finger on. And sometimes they'll confess that, sometimes they won't. But they'll know what they need to do. And that's what we're aiming at. And that's part of the healing process that God's wanting to do in that person's life. So we're open to listening. Is there unconfessed sin? Is there unforgiven hurts? A lot of times people, when you're praying for them, they will have a vision, or you might have a vision of somebody, and they will say that this person is somebody that hurt them in the past. And a lot of times it's a parent. A lot of times it's a pastor, a former pastor. A lot of times it's a former spouse. It's probably going to be somebody that was very, very close to them for some time in their life. And that's the person that they need to forgive. Now, again, you know, it's really important that you be respectful of their free will when you're doing this. Ask them, what do you think God wants you to do? Okay, if there is that kind of a situation that comes up, what do you think God wants you to do? Maybe just a quick prayer of forgiveness. Lord, I forgive this person for what they have done against me. And I encourage people at that point to be as specific as they possibly can be. So unconfessed sin, unforgiven hurts. Now, this doesn't mean that if a person is not healed when you're praying for them, that there is necessarily these two things or one of these two things happening. Okay, it may be that there isn't any unconfessed sin or unforgiven hurts. I doubt that, because I think we all have unconfessed sin and unforgiven hurts that we're not even conscious of. And sometimes when I'm praying for somebody, the Lord will bring to my remembrance somebody that I need to forgive, because I'm in that place of being sensitive and open to what God is saying. So again, just because a person's not forgiven or not healed doesn't mean that they have unconfessed sin or unforgiven hurts. The sixth one, the last one, is bless what God has done or is doing in the person's life. Now, one of the things that you need to look at when you see this big picture of what we're doing when we're praying for somebody for physical healing is God's going to address the whole person. God never addresses just one part of a person's life. He's always conscious of what is happening in the whole aspect of a person. I remember John Wimber telling a story about he was leading a healing service, and a woman came up and asked for healing, and John was impressed to simply say to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And she kept saying, "Well, no, I want healing. I want physical healing." And John again just said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And she said, "No, I don't think you understand. I got this problem physically, and I want you to pray for that." And again, John was impressed to say to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Three times he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And it suddenly, like the third time, the light went on. And she just broke down and began to cry because there was something that God was doing. There was awareness or a lack of awareness of her forgiveness that was causing the physical illness in her body. And when that happened, when she began to receive the forgiveness of her sins, the healing flowed out of that. The healing, the physical healing flowed out of that. So sometimes God will tell you to do some kind of a strange thing. It's like, this doesn't fit. You know, this person came and they wanted God to do this, but you're telling me to do that, and they don't kind of go together. I just encourage you to go with it. Be experimental. You don't have to force it on them. If it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. But you know what? God's telling me this. What do you think? And be in that kind of open place before God. Okay, so bless what God has done or is doing in the person's life. When you come to the point that you feel that you have done what you were called to do, tell the person that you would like to end with prayer of blessing and make it simple, like, you know, "In Jesus' name, I bless you, Tommy, with the peace and joy and hope. And I bless what God is doing in you right now and ask that that you, Lord, continue your work in him." And always pray that God continues the work that has begun, because you know none of us are ever done getting healed. And a person might be healed of cancer instantaneously when you lay hands on them, but that doesn't mean that the work of healing is done. There is an ongoing work of healing that God is always doing in us. So when Ron was up here and he you know, I asked him, "What are you sensing?" And he talked about what he was feeling emotionally, and then, you know, I prayed and I asked God to bless, or I blessed what God was doing. I just said the amen. That's a whole teaching in itself, saying the amen. It is and it shall be, basically, is what that is saying. That what God is saying is and it shall be, and it's going to continue on. And so you kind of end the time of prayer with that blessing. Scripture is clear that we are the body of Christ and each of us has different functions and varying gifts. You might say, "Well, I don't pray for the sick because I don't have the gift of healing." Wrong answer. Each of us has an obligation to pray for one another. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. It doesn't say if you have the gift of healing. It just says pray that you may be healed. Like we were talking about earlier, when one is sick, we all suffer. In 1 Corinthians 12:26, it says, "If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it." This should encourage us to be prepared if God desires to use us in ministering healing or improvement in someone, in a brother or sister. If the sick person is an unbeliever, healing can provide us with an evangelistic opportunity in their lives. Be open to God saying to you at some point, when you're at work and a coworker says, "Oh man, I'm feeling so bad today." Maybe the Lord would tell you, ask him if you can pray for him. It's amazing how few times when I've done that, I don't think I've ever had anybody say, "No, I don't want you to pray for me." Maybe once or twice I've had that. But almost every time you say, hey, would you mind if I, you know, just prayed for you? You're not feeling good. And you mind if I just pray for you real quick? No, go ahead. You know, they might kind of look at you weird, like, you know, okay, whatever, you know. But go ahead, do it. Take the opportunity. You know, just lay your hand on his shoulder and say, Lord, you know, I just ask you to, you know, minister to Johnny right now and just bring healing to his body and pray that you would make him well in Jesus' name. And see what happens. And, you know, amazing things can happen. Even if the person's not healed right at that point, you've planted a seed in that person. And if they're an unbeliever, you know, you've planted a seed of love. I mean, God, this guy cared enough to pray for me. That was kind of weird, but kind of neat too, you know. So be open to what God can do in terms of using that prayer of healing as an evangelistic tool. And finally, I just want to close with the idea that God just wants us to be available. You know, it's not about having all the answers. It's not about having this powerful healing ministry or spiritual shotgun like Benny Hinn wants or whatever. You know, it's like you don't have to be able to mow people down in the spirit. It's just being available, just being there, you know. Just saying, okay, Lord, use these hands, use this mouth, use this mind. Do whatever you want to do right now. I'm just open to you using me. And when we do that, he will do the works. He will do the works. Remember that you're not the one healing. God is the one healing. And if the person's not healed, it's not your fault. Because you can't heal them anyway. So God doesn't hold you responsible, and you shouldn't hold yourself responsible for something you can't do. All you're doing is asking God to do something that this person wants done. They want us out here. I was hoping to have time to kind of to pray for one another. And we do have about 10 minutes. So is there anybody here that just feels like they would like God's healing? They need God's healing in their life right now. Is there anybody? I know it was asked earlier. Michael asked earlier. Nobody said anything. Okay, nobody? All right, great. I bless what God is doing in your lives. I bless the healing that he has ministered to you. I know that we've gone through a kind of a season in this body of just a lot of sickness, Lord, and I just thank you that you brought healing. I thank you for the healing you brought to Marty and I. And just, you know, just pray that you'd continue to do the work, Lord, that you've begun to do. I bless what you've done, Lord. I say amen to the work that you have done of healing. And I say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray that each one of us would have a boldness to pray for the sick. And, Lord, give us a model that we can use that would be open to your spirit, that would be open to being used by you, that would not rush you, and that would be available, where we would be available, Lord, for you to use us in these situations. And I thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the worship that we could have. Thank you for the time that you ministered to us. Thank you for the healing that you've brought. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you. I'll see you next week.